Welcome back, everyone, to D&D Outdoors. Today on the show, we got a little bit of hunting news. Coming up, some bans on trophy implementations. Also, bear hunting banned in the spring in Washington. As well as we have a very special guest on. We have Chris from My Season Report. So it was a great conversation with him, and we're excited, you know, for you guys to, you know, listen to what he does and all of the exciting stuff that he's got going on too. So how you doing today, Dustin?
Doing pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm doing good. Another day in paradise, right?
Yeah. What's the temperature out there?
Today it is in like this low 70s.
Oh man. I got up this morning. It was like 28.
That does not sound like fun. So. That does not sound like fun at all. You got snow yet?
Not yet.
Oh. Coming, though?
They had a forecast for snow. I think it was last week, but I never saw any of it, which it doesn't matter to me either way.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of just dive right into it today. I know I said I was going to talk about the Washington Bear ban literally 3 minutes ago, but I also forgot another important ban that they're trying to pass in Europe. So we kind of got a little bit of both going on, but we'll start with Europe and work our way back to the good old USA.
Okay.
So in Europe, they are passing a law in the UK, because they are very good at passing laws over there that they don't well understand on the emotions of people, to ban all African species. So that means they're going to get rid of 800 species of African animals that you could legally hunt in Africa, and the importation will now be illegal into Europe.
Yeah, I think I've saw something about that too. I don't know how that's gonna work out for them. That's kind of, you go over and you spend all that money to take a trophy and help feed all the tribes and all over there and help them out, then you can't even bring anything back but pictures.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm assuming there'll be a big decline in hunting over there in Africa from Europe, and you know, as you talked about, you know, like feeding the tribes and stuff. I mean, during COVID shutdown, Africa lost a lot of its income because people can go there to go hunting. And a lot of those countries and rural tribes, that's their only income. And yeah, on top of it, I believe, I can't find the article, but I want to say roughly 95% of all poaching, anti-poaching units that pay for the conservation officers to go out and chase the poachers, their equipment and everything, all comes 95% of their fees that go into keeping poachers away come from hunters. So by banning hunting, you're actually going to see an increase in poaching, because no one's going to want to go for free and fight poachers.
Yeah, I think that's everywhere. I pretty much said it for like Virginia here, that you start cutting your hunting stuff and your money and all, it's you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. And next thing you know, like companies like Europe that allow big companies like SoCo, big gas companies, go in and exploit the regions of all their natural, you know, drilling in national parks, wildlife refugees, killing animals. But they have no problem with that. But as soon as someone shoots a gazelle, damn, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching, you know, kind of researching it, and you want to say what hunting is wrong, but at the end of the day, trophy hunting, as you can call it, really, I mean, my uncle was a big trophy hunter back way, way back in the day, like in the 40s and 50s. I remember going to his house. And in Michigan, he had lions, tigers, polar bears. He has like 4 or 5 world records. Like, he hunted the world. And talking to him about it, which it still is today, the trophy hunting and hunting is targeting older animals that are going to die anyways.
Correct.
Targeting also the older animals that are still strong, but they aren't fertile. So, but they're running the younger animals away from the females so they can't breed. So you're going to see an overall decrease in population growth, population density, and just going to have a lot more just older animals running around that are going to strain the habitat just as well.
It's you're putting a strain on the environment because of it. If it's a decrease, then they're going to blame hunters, and it's it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, they're trying to put hunters in the category of poachers that go out and kill anything that moves and then goes ahead and sells everything to foreign countries that want ivory or other animal parts for their ancient medicines. But it's the hunter's fault for all that.
I didn't think they could transport ivory out anymore. I thought that was illegal.
It's illegal, but some countries still allow the sale of it. So they can sneak it out. It still can be sold.
Black market and all, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, those big countries that they still allow to sell, I mean, they aren't going to stop getting it to come in. They'll figure out a way to get it there. Throw it on their presidential plane or whatnot.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy to see as Europe tends to overreact on stuff, but it will be interesting to see how this plays out. And as soon as poaching starts increasing and animals' deaths start increasing and population start decreasing, if they're going to change it or if they're just going to get more strict on hunting and keep blaming the hunters.
We are always the scapegoats.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that help the most are the ones that get blamed the most.
That is correct.
And in other news, in Washington, the state of Washington just had a 4-4 tie in their wildlife to end spring bear hunting. Well, that's a great question. There was no real facts on why they did it. You know, I've been scrolling through the internet. It was once again introduced, this bill, and pushed very hardly by the Humane Society, saying, you know, spring bear hunting's bad. Spring bear hunting kills cubs, kills females, and other stuff. When they don't look at the whole fact of it is because the hunting pressure on in the springtime on sees about a 2% cub mortality rate because of hunters not doing their part in shooting, not being sure there's no cubs with the sows. But what it does do in the springtime, you harvest mainly boar bears. And what do big bears like to eat?
Cubs.
So it's going to be the same thing. You're getting rid of hunting all because it was really just a political way to appease people, kind of like the craziest we talked about earlier in Portland, trying to get rid of hunting altogether. And once again, I bet you this has a negative consequence as well.
One part of me says just go back the way it was when the Native Americans were here and just hunt for your own food. Then another part of me is like, no, because if you do that, people would eradicate everything.
Yeah.
And it'd just be a lose-lose situation for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not – there's no win-win. I was on some of the crazier websites and like how people – on the Humane Society website, I was reading because they have, you know, of course, they have their blog saying victory. And it's a little crazy. People are out there saying, you know, how bears are beautiful animals and people need to stand up from the bears more, and that people should get their meat and food from non-killing ways.
Okay, let's go to, you know, my One of my favorite vacation spots is Gatlinburg, where they have a ban on you cannot kill black bears there, right?
Yeah.
So they are overrun with black bear now, to where you can't even put your garbage out unless the container is a bear-proof garbage can.
Yeah.
And then you go to the national park right beside Gatlinburg, Great Smoky Mountains, and they have signs everywhere, do not go within 50 foot of bear and or elk.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And on their website, they're coming after Arizona, of course, because why not? And they're saying that Arizona allows springtime cub bear hunting, where it is clearly stated in the Game and Fish guidelines, it is against the law and illegal to kill a cub black bear or a sow with cubs.
Correct. It's the same thing here. The bear has to be over X amount of pounds, and you cannot shoot a female with cubs.
Yeah, and now they're literally saying that they're coming after Arizona in the article I read. So I guess we better buckle up for the fight here too.
I mean, do they have just people that are over top all the game and fish stuff that are non hunters or fishermen that don't even care? They're just listening to the data coming in, even if it is wrong.
That's where it's starting to get to in this point. They are spending big money to get in these people's ears, like a political organization does. And, coming in and convincing them that they should cancel these for X, Y, and Z reason. And by doing so, pressuring the Game and Fish Commission, which in Arizona, the Game and Fish Commission is made up of different people. They aren't all hunters. They could be ranchers. You know, they could be people that have worked with wildlife and biologists, and that they convinced them to overturn these laws by just political pressure. And I'm sure there's some nice donations to them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So by doing that, it'll be fun to see how this plays off. I mean, as much as the Humane Society claims to do good for animals, I mean, they're there for, I always thought, for, you know, your lost dog or cat, but apparently they're there for a lot more than they allow you to see.
Yeah, it's another one that you're kind of torn on. That, you know, people think of hunters as nothing but killers or murderers and all, but hunters have taken care of more wildlife and animals than I would venture to say PETA has.
Oh, yeah. I think I was reading on it has like a 95% kill rate on the animals. They just say that they are going to take these animals and end up killing them just for the looks of it. It's absolutely ridiculous when it comes to that. And I mean, if hunters truly wanted to kill, you wouldn't see all these videos online of hunters when they find deer or elk all tangled up in fences or with each other trying to free them when they could easily just walk up and shoot them.
And then you go and look at, all right, so PETA is killing them. What are they doing with them?
Throwing them in dumpsters.
What are hunters doing with them?
Eating.
If they don't personally, them or their family eat it, they tend to donate it to, you know, Hunters for the Hungry programs and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
food. We go back to Africa. All the meat's pretty much donated to tribes that don't always have the opportunity to go hunting or the means to eat, to harvest large animals.
I think I had watched one of the hunting shows that were in Africa, and they said that one hippo, they would take enough to bait one of the big cats in for that hunter, but that hippo would also feed two tribes for a week.
Yeah, but let's let the tribes go hungry because someone sitting on their $10,000 leather couch is cruelty free, I'm sure, doesn't like to see a dead animal on their timeline or other people shooting stuff.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, it is crazy. Crazy time to live in, but, you know, that's why, as we always talk about, we need to really just stick together as hunters and fight these crazinesses as it goes on.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything you'd like to talk about?
Nothing off the top of my head. I'm pretty much, you know, my head's floating off other places.
Gotcha.
Trying to edit, you know, upcoming season 3 here.
Yeah, we're excited to get season 3 out. Or I guess you are. I haven't done too much work on it. Just we're sending you some videos. You're the brain behind the machine and the face.
I don't know about all that.
Hope, you know, you guys stick together with us for this hunting. Bands that are coming on, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsor, Kavitch Headlamps. And then we will have Chris from My Season Report on. All right. We're good now.
All right.
Yeah, that should have sent over correctly this time. I found a converter online.
Yeah, I've got it. I got it downloaded. And yeah, it looks like it was a whole lot. I put the that dot move in.
Yeah.
And everything was just fuzzy.
That's weird. Yeah, so that comes directly from iMovie, so I'll just have to use the exporter when I send you stuff, I guess, then.
And from what I've read, that the dot move whatever thing is, you know, it's a low quality, whereas the MP4 is like a HD or whatever.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that works. Yeah.
So.
All righty, well, I'll get this out here after my meetings, and yeah. I guess I'll be talking to you on Thursday. Oh, we're talking a lot this week.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Thursday will be fun. I joined that group last night. I've been meaning to.
It's a whole lot of big deer he sees on there.
Yeah. He's got like, what, he has like 39,000 people that follow it or something crazy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he can push it, yeah. We can probably get our numbers up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm going to, at the beginning of the new year, start running just like spending like $30 on Instagram ads to see what happens, see if that does anything as well.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, you can advertise through Instagram and it connects to Facebook and stuff too.
Yeah, I knew about Facebook. I stopped using, I did a couple times with them and it got, I would make a little ad.
Yeah.
And I would post it in like different groups in the area, and they flagged me for spam for the same ad that they wanted to run.
Yeah, I know. With Instagram, it's you just take one of your posts, and there's like a boost post, and it turns it into an ad, and then it will. Then you can either select your audience or like target the audience based on your followers and your who you follow and stuff, and then kind of pops up on their Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. And, I mean, it gets a lot of people to look. I don't know if it ever works, but I know it definitely increased the drive to, I think, my website the few times I've done it.
Yeah, we can see what it does.
Yeah. So. Alrighty. Well, don't have too much fun today. Let me know when you want the rest of those videos to come over.
All right.
Yeah, I have them all ready to go for you.
All right, it'll probably be after the holidays.
All right, yeah, I figured that, and I will. What is that? I just want to be sure I have the time right. So 8 o'clock or your time, so 6 my time on Thursday.
6 my time.
Oh, 6 your time. Okay, so that's 4 my time. Okay, let me just change it real quick. 2. That's why I ask.
What time is it there now?
2:42.
Okay, so you are 2 hours behind. Some reason I was thinking 3.
Gotcha. Yeah, we used to be 3 till the time change. Arizona doesn't change times. We stay the same time year round.
It screws me up too.
Yeah. So we like to throw curveballs at you. So, alrighty, Dustin. I'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right, man.
Yeah. Bye, bye.
See you.
Whether you're packing out an elk late at night or trying to sneak into your deer stand early in the morning in the darkness, you definitely want a top-of-the-line headlamp. Well, head on over to Kavitch and get your headlamp today.
with 300 lumens and 220 degrees of LED light, the K110 headlamp is the best for you. Head on over to Kavitch and get your headlamp today. That is at www.kawachusa.com.
As we said, if you are looking for a headlamp, Kavitch Headlamps is the newest and top headlamp out here in the market. I'd like to welcome on a very special guest, Chris of My Season Reports. How are you doing today, Chris?
Good. I'm doing great. Thanks for the invite. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. Thank you very much for coming on.
That's my pleasure.
Well, I'll let Chris get into here and kind of describe My Season Report, but, you know, a little overview from me. You know, I one day was just scrolling aimlessly through Instagram, and your advertisement came up in My Season Report. I started researching it, and it's a really cool program. Would you call it a program, a software?
I think it's a software at this point, and soon to be app.
Oh, soon to be an app too. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, so yeah, I'd say I'll let you explain it. You know, I think it's awesome, like, especially for myself out here in the West, where we can have all these different species to hunt, but in different states, but trying to keep track of it's really hard. And My Season Reports made it so much easier. So yeah, if you just want to go ahead and explain it.
Yeah, I've been really blessed by the reaction in the hunting community so far. And Season Report is a tool designed to help you navigate all the individual states' hunting regulations, from season dates, bag limits, methods of take, special stuff like antler point restrictions. It kind of started as a personal experiment last year, and I hunt in two different counties in Virginia that have different regulations. And so keeping all that information straight just personally was annoying. And I teach a little coding on the side, and there was a project that I was making for some students that I realized would probably lend itself pretty well for me to accomplish this goal of keeping everything straight. So I kind of made up my own personal cheat sheet. I made it for a friend or two in Virginia. They loved it. The thing they said is what I've heard every step of this process is, how has nobody made this yet? It's just kind of a one-stop uniform platform to search through hunting opportunities. And so then I made it for friends and family in Louisiana and Colorado, and every person I shared it with, they were just blown away. And so at that point, I realized I was probably onto something. And COVID, you know, the silver lining of everything being shut down in that period, I was able to just kind of hunker down and finish out the whole country. And so at this point, you can get on, and, you know, it's a little late in the season, but you can search the country however you see fit. You can save locations so where only that information is brought up when you log in. My whole goal with it is to be an information system that keeps you from having to spend hours looking up all these regulations and get on to the more enjoyable parts of hunting, planning your trip, where you're going to camp, stuff like that.
Not having the whiteboard full of dates like I used to.
Yeah, I was really appreciative of that photo. Yeah. I was trying to solve that problem for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's when I started talking to Chris. You know, I was telling him how I had a whiteboard just full of all the different hunting dates, and this made my life so much easier than flipping through every regulation of that the states have out here.
I'm happy with that.
So, are you like a, you know, in the IT world by trade, or is this just, I know you said you teach coding on the side, and just something you kind of learn and develop?
I'm a genetic scientist, and I teach now, but back in the day, I had this problem where I was assigned 5,000 images to look through, and they were microscope images, and they had a whole lot of green and red dots on them. And I was tasked with early in grad school, hey, I want you to look through all these images and tell me where the red dot sits right next to the green dot. And each image had hundreds of these dots. And I just took one look at it and said, I don't want to do that at all. So I was like, finally, I have a use for coding. And there was a perfect class where they kind of brought you from zero to accomplishing the relatively doable problem that you had. And so it taught me a lot. And then I just kind of brushed up every once in a while just to keep my skills up, because I kind of always felt like there would be that massive data set that needed wrangling. And then, like I said, when I started getting all those responses from everybody, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is it. All right, let's get to it.
Yeah, you know, it's, I love it. I mean, I'm on it all the time, especially with now I kind of use it as another tool too, with the draw starting to come back here out west, to start planning what species to put in for and where I'm, what states I'm going to be putting in for at what time. And it's made that a lot easier than this whiteboard and me thinking I'm some amazing tech guy with Excel and all that stuff. So what got you into hunting, or, you know, what kept you going? And along that, as you said, I know before we were talking, you're from out west here in Arizona, and now you're on the East Coast. But
yeah, I was born in Arizona, kind of moved around a lot. I spent most of my years as a kid in Colorado. So
what parts?
Are you familiar with like Canyon City, Florence area?
Kind of, yes. I went to school in Grand Junction. I graduated college from Colorado Mesa University.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're familiar with all the different parts of Colorado. So there's always an amazing trip to go on every weekend. And so my dad got me into hunting there. And, you know, when you're brought up from five until about 12 or so, and you're just in the mountains seeing all the different species that are walking around and hunting them, it just gets in your blood. And then, you know, I really loved it there. We were hunting and fishing all the time. And then we ended up moving down south during high school and college. And I just, down there, I didn't have the same access to everything like I did in Colorado. And just a number of situations just put hunting on the back burner. And then when I came to Virginia, started getting back into hiking again and back into fishing again. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, I remember I loved hunting. And as soon as I picked it back up as an adult, it's just been, you know, my wife would probably attest, far too large of a part of my life, but it's just a full addiction at this point. I can't get out there enough.
Yeah, no, yeah. Dustin's always telling me some of the great hunting stories from the East Coast. And, you know, I'm really, really jealous about it out there.
Yeah. I like both sides of the country. I think the West is where it's just so, I mean, nature is almost flexing a muscle in your face, and it's so cool and everything's so tall and vast. And then out here, out east, it just feels, obviously it's the older mountains. And so they're a little weathered on the top, but the ecosystem that gives you the full four seasons, both have their pros and cons, but I love living my day to day in the Appalachians. It's awesome to see all the tiny changes that happen.
Yeah, actually have seasons, unlike we did in Arizona.
Right.
So
yeah, we were talking about that this morning, weren't we?
Yes. Yeah, how it's cold out there, and here it's like in the 40s, and you guys are actually getting winter to come in, and us is just, the sun's just not as bright. Yeah. Oh, man.
So what counties do you hunt in up there?
You know, I've got around to Albemarle, Nelson, Fluvanna, Culpeper, but I hop back and forth between, you know, Southwest. I'm trying to get out there a little bit more, especially as the elk draw comes up. But usually right around Albemarle, hop over public land in the mountainous areas as well.
Okay. I'm in Amherst County.
Nice. I haven't got the opportunity to get down there for hunting. I think we went to Smith Mountain Lake once or twice. That's in Amherst, correct?
No, that's a little further south than,
oh, okay,
than we are. That's about another hour.
Got it. So do you do private or public hunting?
Private.
Yeah.
Which the app you're talking about here, it's sounding kind of interesting, because the Amherst County, they take 29 and divide it.
Mm-hmm.
So like the west side of 29 is where I hunt at. We only get rifle season for, I think they bumped it up to 3, maybe 4 weeks now.
Yeah.
And then the other side of 29 is for like a month or a more than what we get. So they're still in rifle season on that side, where ours just went out Saturday.
Yeah, I went hunting this past weekend, and you know, I live in Albemarle, and so I can hunt until January with a firearm, with a rifle, but you either got to pick bow or muzzle loader if you're going out west into the mountains at this point.
Yep.
And you know, that's an example of how I personally, that's one of the fun things about having built this and hear people talk about how it helps them. But I'm finding it, I'm starting to build and further tweak the tool I want to use. And so I was using it this weekend to really nail in exactly what opportunities I had. It was bow with this weapon or buck only with muzzle loader. And then, you know, I've had a few situations, and you know, you just gotta, depending on bow or muzzleloader, you can either go for a doe or not. And so that's one of the fun things about personally using Season Report. I'm starting to get a good sense of what opportunities I have where, and you know, I've had a few unexpected uses of Season Report this season. One was I was headed out to the mountains, and I just decided to see what was available, and I didn't realize there was a early duck season for just a 3-day window. And I said, all right, well, you know, there's water out there, throw the shotgun in. And because of that, I was able to get a duck, which was awesome. And then on that same trip, we had dogs running bears through the mountains and right through our area. And so we're kind of getting a little pissed. And I decided to pull it up just to see, was it even legal to be doing so? And then I saw, oh, no, they're completely within their rights. There's no reason for me to get mad. And, you know, there's a lot of tiny little things that I'm hearing from people all over the country, unanticipated ways that this is helpful to people.
Yeah, no, as I said, it's a great tool. And, you know, I just reading, you know, I was reading, obviously, because I follow you on Instagram, seems like you're doing some cool stuff with Pope and Young as well.
Yeah, no, that's been a really good relationship, because at the end of the day, I want to create a tool that is useful for people. Obviously, I want it to be, you know, I think living the dream would be having your hobby fund your life. So
yes.
if it could be a standalone business, that'd be amazing. But really, I want this to be a tool to generate income that I can point towards different conservation efforts. And, you know, everybody wants to give back. And with this, like, if it can start to grow nationally, maybe catch on, that's a pretty cool tool to wield. And, you know, as you can see with all the different things from Alaska to Florida, you really need dollars and united voices to actually make a difference with conservation. And so thinking forward, that's the end goal of Season Report, to really create something that can educate people on a number of means. But Pope and Young was a great relationship. We're still working together, and it's really cool to be able to help them out, help people get a few dollars off, and you know, still grow the membership.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. When I saw that partnership come out, that was really cool. On that,
well, I'm scrolling through his Instagram now, just checking things out. Looks like you like to eat a little bit too there.
Oh yeah. No, that's kind of what brought me back into it, was just challenging myself to be a little bit better of a cook.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw a little zinger at you. Top five wild game meats.
Well, you know, until this season, I would have said venison, but I got a black bear opening day of bow season, and I would have never thought I'd enjoy it. But
really,
it is, you know, just stereotypes. You hear all these things about being greasy and stuff. It has quickly turned into my favorite wild meat. I love
that's
it.
Curveball.
Yeah. So black bear, venison, wild boar, I really enjoy. Had some dove, and I'd say, you know, elk is always up there, but it's just so rare out east. I think I gave you five there.
Yeah. Do you come out west ever to go elk hunting, or do you just stick to the hard draws out the East Coast?
I haven't got out west yet to hunt. I go out there hiking a lot, but I just haven't been. The timing was such that as I was really getting into hunting seriously enough to drop the money to go out west, COVID ruined everybody's plans. So it's on the docket for the next year or two. Just trying to get this off the ground first.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's going to be my next adventure, to get back to Colorado for that. Because out here in Arizona, it takes forever to draw.
Well, I'm going to be in the first draw for Virginia's elk season next year. I can't wait for that. They've got a huntable population now. And that's what, the results of 10 years of hard work by the Rocky Mountain Elk?
Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, Army Elk, you know, I love what they do. I didn't even know that. Yeah. I mean, I knew that they were coming, but that's really cool to get a huntable population. How many tags are they going to give out?
I don't know if they released that yet. Do you know?
I haven't really read into it much. I've been waiting on them to migrate to Amherst County so I can just start popping them here and ain't got to travel out west.
I think you might have a little time before then.
Yeah.
But no, they got them in Kentucky. That's another weird thing about like building season report was I got to look at every state's opportunities and design code around it. And I learned a lot in the process. I didn't realize there's so many elk opportunities. Pennsylvania, Northeast, the Dakotas. I think is it Delaware, you can hunt with a handgun. They have a handgun dedicated season. I mean, there's some interesting seasons out there.
Yeah. I never would have guessed you could have hunted with a handgun. That's wild.
Yeah, it's a specific season for it.
That's awesome.
I mean, I've been to South Carolina where they were doing hog hunts with spears and knives. So
I would never do that. I'm too call me a coward. I took a wild boar down in Louisiana, and I got up close to that sucker. That was terrifying. I couldn't imagine a pack of them.
It's when my son, for his 6th birthday, I took him on a pig hunt, and it was a pack of them coming up a hill when he shot. And he hit his a little further back and hit it in the guts.
Ooh.
And they were eating it as it was screaming.
Oh,
and we kind of just put him between two trees and was like, stay here.
Yeah, he doesn't need to see that.
Well, it was getting dark, and they were just everywhere all around us.
Wow. I didn't know they'd cannibalize that quick. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said when Dustin told me that story. I don't want to mess with hogs.
Wow. You know, you go down in the bayous down there, and just like a deer bed, you can see all the hog beds, and you step in there, and you just get their funk, and it's so stinky, but you see the number that are in the pack. And so like everybody down there, they got problems with them. And so they'd only caught one. He was big. He was about 400 pounds, but they only caught one. But while we were walking through there the day before and day after, just thinking about running into that number of hogs all at once and looking around and seeing nothing but like twigs to hang on to. I had no exit plan at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's one thing I do kind of like about the desert. At least you can see what's coming at you most of the time.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Sometimes the hogs do sneak up on us out here, but most of the time you can see her far enough away to have a general idea of it. So how can, you know, someone interested in, you know, connecting with you, getting on my season report, how can they find you?
Yeah, so it's seasonreport.com. Social media is My Season Report if you want to stay up to date. We have a lot of new, and in terms of like signing up, you can just go there. You have a free trial, 24 hours for the full service, and then it's $15 a year after that. Although I would urge you to use the code Pope Young to give back $5 to the Pope Young Club. And yeah, there's even a free demo that you can just go and get a sense of it. Cause I didn't want to make something that people felt like they were getting ripped off at all. Cause I'd much rather lose a little money and people take advantage of some of the free parts. But to me, that's less important than it is for people feeling like they got the product that they expected. So I want everybody to be able to go check it out. And then, you know, if it really solves some problems for you, then pay $15 a year or use a code.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, as I said, it's made my hunting a lot easier to be able to organize it and be able to just not have that whiteboard anymore full of stuff.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, we'll definitely, you know, we're going to tag you in our Instagram post and then put your website and the code all in the description of this podcast as well.
Oh, awesome. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much, you know, for coming on, Chris. And, you know, we look forward to, you know, watching my season grow. And, you know, I'm obviously from the beginning of it, just seeing it grow already. It's exciting to see the route it's already taken off to.
I appreciate it. And before I get out of here, I want to tell you about something that's coming out this week. It's not really going to start kicking into full gear until towards the end of the year.
Okay.
But, you know, I was starting to think forward about different things on the calendar, and obviously there's spring hunting, but, you know, I went on a trip out to the mountains with a friend, and we started talking about, oh, we should do this next year or that next year. And, well, when they release the dates, we'll have to start talking. And at that moment, I realized there's probably people that have this exact conversation all the time, and then they let those months of the calendar creep by, and other things fill up all of their hunting opportunity weekends, and then the season date is released by the state in question. And so then I feel like a lot of people miss that opportunity to really plan that next year's hunt. And so what I'm doing is, as a state's seasons end, I am doing a forecast for next year. So, because they change every year, but they change in subtle ways, the season dates. And so every state, when you are done with all the season opportunities this year, next year's season data will be up in the database available to search, so you can more easily plan next year's trip or take block off that week at work and stuff like that.
That is awesome. Oh, that's to make it a lot easier. That's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah, no, I think it's just trying to see all the problems that I encounter and see if I could make something to make that problem go away.
Well, I look forward to that. Honestly, that's going to make, as I said, trying to plan to go to Colorado and Utah next year, it's going to help a lot.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well, thank you again, Chris, for coming on. If you are want to get my season report, head on to seasonreport.com. Don't forget to use code Pope and Young for $5 to give back to that great organization. A very special thank you to Chris from My Season Report for coming on the show. It was great having him, and great, you know, a great product that he has there for us. I would like, you know, to remind you guys to go download or purchase My Season Report at www.seasonreport.com. And also remember, use code Pope and Young to donate $5 of that proceeds will be going to the Pope and Young Foundation to preserve hunting. As we talked about, you know, at the beginning of the show, there's constant attacks on hunting, and it's starting to get out of hand from the UK to Washington to, looks like now they're honing in on my state of Arizona. And, you know, it's just something that we as hunters need to stick together and fight. As always, please go ahead, download Headline Outdoors on, you know, your Roku, your Amazon Fire tablets or TVs or sticks. And, you know, if you love the show, we have some gear for sale through the link in our Instagram bio or on the southwesternoutdoorsman.com. You can get t-shirts, decals, you know, anything you can to support the show. You know, if you hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and if you're heading to work, I promise it will be over soon.